should not be the reason that he came. See him realize his life is through. Feel the love burn from his eyes. Behold the temple veil as it is torn in two. Hear the one on Calvary as he cries, made it full. I've done the work I came to do, made it full. I've paid my final price for you. And all hell tries to tell you that you'll never win. Just remember that the debt for your sin is paid in full. See his children torn between two ways. Some still choose to mock his name. Hear his followers as they can boldly say, we are the reason that he came. See the ones who trust themselves alone to do what only Christ can do. Jesus, what a love we may approach the Father's throne. Hear the words as he still calls to you. Paid in full, I've done the work I came to do. Paid in full, I've paid my final price for you. When all hell tries to tell you that you'll never win, just remember that the debt for your sin is paid in full. I've done the work I came to do, paid in full. I've paid my final price for you. Hell tries to tell you that you'll never win. Just remember that the debt for your sin is paid in full. When all hell tries to tell you that you'll never win, just remember that the debt for your sin is paid in
full. Okay, Romans 6. Okay, Romans 6 and then 2 Peter 1. Okay, last week I went on the resurrection of Christ. This week is going to be the practical aspect, how you can get a daily benefit out of it. And we'll get it from Romans 6 and then 2 Peter chapter 1. Okay, let's go ahead and pray first. Lord, I do ask and pray to help us understand your words. I ask that you'd help us know how to apply them. I ask that you'd help each and every one of us to attain the goal that you have for each and every one of us, that we might be faithful to your words and faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, chapter 6, Romans, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Okay, the answer, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Okay, there's two baptisms there, nothing to do with water. But follow closely verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so there's the resurrection, even so we also will walk in newness of life. Should. Okay, we should walk in newness of life. Why do most do not? Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant of the apostle, servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things. So at the moment a person gets born again, you are given everything that you need that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye will be partakers of the divine nature. Might be. Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Now, if you went back to Romans 6, the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the same power that is able to give every born-again believer to live a resurrected life before the resurrection. That power is there. It's available. Romans 3, in Romans 1, 2, and 3, you got about man's sinfulness. The conclusion is 3:19, where it says we're all guilty. The remedy of that guilt is in 3:24, being justified freely by his grace, we have redemption. Okay, that is in Christ Jesus. How is that given? Chapter 4, verse 5, imputed righteousness. It says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you drop down to verse 11, that's what is called the atonement. Atonement, or if you divide it in three sections, at one mint. You're at one with God. Okay, that takes place. That's a legal decree. At the moment, a person puts their faith in Jesus Christ. Then chapter 6 says, we should walk in newness of life. Chapter 7, if you would, verse 6, we also says, but now we are delivered from the law, and being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness, that we should serve in newness of spirit. Should. But unfortunately, why is it that most do not? Ephesians 2, verse 10, verse 8 and 9 is quite obvious. It's quite well-known verses. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, then the follow-up in 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Why is it that most do not? If you travel the country and go to church, why is it that Christians are just as depressed as the world, taking antidepressants? Why is divorce level equal in the church that it is in the world? Why is it that Christians are living just like atheists in many ways? Why is that? Okay, why are they not living in newness of life as the Bible says we should be? And I'm not saying I am, but I just know that there are certain things in life that we have available to us, we need to tap into it. Okay, why is that? Most believers are barely surviving They're confused about this idea and that idea, and they watch the news. Oh, the world's for 12 years. We really have 12 years left. Oh, cut it out. Relax. God's still on the throne. He's not in heaven pulling his hair out. Okay, but why is it that most believers are like that? It's the same reason you don't use 90% of the power in your cell phone. I got me an Apple cell phone. I saw them little apps and icons. What'd I do with them? I put them all in one little box so I don't have to look at them anymore. You know, us older people, okay, 60 and older year old. Okay, so I'm in the old range. You get an iPhone, stupid. And then you ask your five-year-old, show me what to do. Okay, how many of us use the capability of our iPhones? Probably not 90%. I probably don't use 90% of the capability. I use the compass. I've done that one. Proud of myself. Got that one. I use the clock. Okay, I know how to answer it. And I can send text messages. Not that my big thumb can do it. I got to speak it. Okay, and that, but there's a bunch of other stuff on there that I'm looking at. What is that? Okay, we don't use the capability of those phones, do we? It's a lot of, my computer, it's got all that stuff on the bottom. I think I use about four of them. I don't use all that stuff. I don't know how to use all that stuff. It gets so confusing, it gets so bogged down. The same is true in the Christian life. When we got born again, God put several apps. And they're all available. Scientists often say that we don't use 90% of our brain. Some politicians, I don't think, use 100%. You know, but why is it like that in a Christian life? So this week, next week, I want to give you some apps that we have available to us. Every Christian's got these available to them, and we need to tap into them. Okay? The first thing is, let's set a goal. Okay, it says in Proverbs, where there is no vision, the people perish. Okay, what is the goal for every born-again believer in this life? Okay, where you can live a resurrected life before the resurrection. In this life, the goal is found in Romans 8:37. We are more than conquerors. Conquering what? The world, the flesh, the devil. So I'm going to focus more on the world today, how we can conquer that portion. Okay, we are more than conquerors. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 says we have the victory in Christ Jesus. So we are victorious conquerors. That is the goal that God has for us in this life. And if we can claim the promises and realize that we not only should walk in newness of life, we can walk in newness of life by the grace of God. Why is it not that way? Many believers are bogged down in the muck of apostasy, and they're just absolutely confused. I get emails about people, do you know of a church in our area, a Bible-believing church? No, I don't. It's like that all across the country. In Australia, there's a Baptist church down in this little place where Jan and I, and there's an American missionary in this little, it's a little Baptist church. The preacher had been there for a long time, and he developed, I think it was 100 questions. It might have been 200, but let's go with a conservative estimate of 100 Bible questions, very simple Bible questions to this Baptist church, men against women. They got three right. One was, the first book in the Bible was Genesis. Well, praise the Lord, they got that one right. And the last book was not Concordance, but Revelation. They got that right. They did not know Matthew. And I don't know what the other question they got right. That is a church that people have attended for years. It's an amazing thing. And you know, that's all across this country. Why is that? What's happening? Now the goal God has for every one of his believers is to have a victorious life and a conquering life. That's the goal. Okay, so what's our first source of power after we get born again? Okay, the first source we go to is where we learned about Jesus Christ. The first source is that book right there. If you would, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. The first source is we go back to that book. That's why the devil's in a writing business and he's got to have fake Bibles. That's the intent. 1 Peter 1, 23, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which abideth forever. Okay, so the word of God in the gospel presentation of 1 Corinthians 15, it says twice in there, according to the scriptures. So if we've learned about the Savior Jesus Christ from the scriptures, that's our starting point. Then if you go turn the page, chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babies, we say babies, babes, if you don't have the I in there, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Very key word there, sincerity. Children are sincere in many cases. We need to retain that. Now, one of the new Bibles says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow up to salvation. Not. Okay? So, what do we give a baby? Hopefully the baby gets mama's milk. That's the ideal. Maybe not always available, but mama's milk is ideal. And then, as the baby grows, maybe mom will take an apple or some applesauce and start to give the baby as it grows some fruit. In Proverbs 25, verse 11, it says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. So the Bible itself is portrayed as milk, is portrayed as fruit. And then you might give them some little cracker or some little piece of bread. Okay, and then that, and when you do that, don't give them a drink of water or don't drink after them because you'll get all them little floaties in there. You always got to, okay, and so they got that bread and they got it all over their face. And the Bible, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And then as they get a little bigger, then you can introduce, not a T-bone steak, you know, when they're three. You might give them a little bit of meat here and there along the way. And in Hebrews chapter 5, he likens the word of God to meat. So the Bible is how we grow. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 2, he likens the Bible to the water, which shall, the rain which shall distill as the dew. My doctrine shall drop as the rain which shall distill. I remember when Brent was a little guy, he was crying. We couldn't figure out why he's crying. And when you put water in a bottle and gave him some, he's just thirsty. He just needed some water. Okay? And so water is very important. That's our growth. So our first source is we got to read what the book says. Okay, but a lot of times just because you have the source, how many read it? And how many read it, understand it? Why they don't have the decoder? Okay, the two little Mormon boys, I say boy, they say they're elders. Boy, they sure know how to look young. I don't know how they do that. The two elders that look 20 years old, and then they're blonde hair and blue eye, and they say they're Jews. I can't figure that out. Okay, but they got a King James Bible in their little pouch with them, but what good does it do them? Nothing, because it has all the Mormon interpretations down in the footnotes. They didn't go to the true interpreter. A lot of people have a Bible, but they don't understand it. Why? They don't have the interpreter. Who's the interpreter? Some guy in the Vatican? Oh, go kid somebody else. John 16, verse 13. This is a promise you need to claim. At the moment you got born again, the interpreter came in your body. And we need to talk to, who's the most qualified person to explain a book? Well, who's the author of the Bible? The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. John chapter 16, verse 13. Now, see, a lot of times some church, a lot of churches, Baptists, they don't want to talk about the Holy Ghost because that's all the charismatics talk about. Now, when they talk about it, they have one word, Holy Ghost. You know, it's not Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. You know, and you can tell what's something going on here. Okay, but the Spirit of God, called in the New Testament the Holy Ghost, 90 times, okay? Jesus Christ introduced the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, to the apostles in John chapter 16. Well, 14, 15, and 16. So in John 16, here's a promise. We need to claim it, and we need to trust God with it. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into half-truth. Okay, into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. Right there is a clue that the movement that's always talking about the Holy Ghost is not right, because he's talking about his gifts. This one says he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. Jesus Christ is speaking. There's another clue that these folks are not, they are displaying a different spirit. Another spirit. And when you tell them, man, you are displaying another spirit, the spirit of the Antichrist, they will say, you've just blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Well, just mark it down. I'll blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Who really cares? Okay, so it says, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. If you would, try Ephesians chapter 1. I remember watching one of these, it was in the house, one of these Holy Ghost ones, and I got talking to them and asked them a couple questions, and they got so mad they took their Bible and threw it on the ground. I mean, I thought that was a pretty good demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 1, verse 12. Now here's how it's laid out for us, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Okay? Salvation. Trusting in Jesus Christ, in whom also ye trusted after that ye heard the word of the truth. Okay? So a lot of people, depending on their background, there might be a truth or a knowledge of the Bible they have an answer or a question to, and that may be a starter point when you witness to them, but then hopefully you can transition from that to the gospel, because it says the gospel of your salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Wherever their starting point is, then you can transfer it over to here, to the gospel, and then it says, in whom also that ye believe. There's faith in the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Ye were sealed. Oh, that's a good deal. Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. There's some legal terms in there. Okay, you understand that in the realty business. In the realty business, you see a house, you put an offer on it, you put down earnest money. What's that for? That's a down payment. Why? You're going to complete the purchase on the day of closing. So when I got born again as a 9-year-old kid, at that moment, the Spirit of God came in my body. I didn't know that. I had not a clue about that. He came in my body. The Spirit of God sealed me until the day of redemption. My soul got redeemed on that day, but my body is still falling apart. Trying to delay that process as best you can. I'm waiting for the day when Jesus buys that part too. The redemption of my body. Now he's promised he's going to do it because he put the Holy Ghost in my body. That's his down payment. Until then, I'm going to use the advantage of the Holy Ghost so that I can be better prepared for the redemption of my body. He promised in Philippians 1:6, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That's a promise. So what do? Claim the promise. When you open up a Bible, ask the author to open your eyes. David said in Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Paul had a very long extended prayer in Ephesians 1, 15 to 23. It's all one sentence. And in verse 18 he says, "Enlightened eyes." And then he summarized that prayer in 2 Thessalonians where he says there, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified." So what's free course? Is that a four-course meal? Free course is a term in admiralty law. Black's Law Dictionary, fourth degree. Yeah, you can get a dictionary, get that and look it up. Free course is a term in admiralty law. It means that when you're sailing, that you have a favorable wind that blows you towards your destination. I don't know if you picked up on the analogy. The favorable wind is the Holy Ghost, John 3:8, blowing you toward the destination. What's the destination? I predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, you can sail against the wind. And when we go to Wisconsin when I was a kid, and they had a little sailboat. And you can sail against the wind. You just have to zigzag. You're going zigzagging, and then when you make the turn, you get a duck, because then that thing swings around. If you're not ducking, you're in the water, you're in the drink. And you go back and forth, back and forth. But when you've got a favorable wind, you can just let sail go, and man, And that, what is that prayer? That's praying to the Holy Ghost of God that He has a free course in your life to push you to the direction of Jesus Christ. That's what that prayer is. But here's the catch on that prayer. He's going to read the heart. When He looks at the heart, if He sees sincerity, humility, meekness, honesty, willingness, if He sees all those, He said, "Okay, here we go. We're going to start showing you some stuff." If He sees pride, intellect, self-righteousness, He says, "I think I'm going to blow against that one." That's a promise. That's a promise. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't be guided by a man. There's a fella, Ethiopian eunuch. There's no name given for him. He's sitting in his chariot. He was a secretary of treasurer of Ethiopia under Candace the Queen. He's reading Isaiah. He had an Israeli scroll in front of him. He's reading Isaiah 53, and he didn't understand it. He's reading it out loud, and the Spirit told Philip, "Hey, go talk to that guy." Okay, so he runs over there, and he can hear the guy reading it out loud, and then he says, "You understand what you're reading?" And the guy said, "How can I except some man guide me?" And Philip jumped up in that chariot, and boy, they had a revival. He preached to him about Jesus. That's what he did. He was reading about a four-legged lamb. He hadn't figured out it's not a four-legged lamb. It's a man. I can't figure. It's a man. I know it's a man. And then he preached on him, the man Christ Jesus. See, He did guide him. The Bible is a closed book without the enlightenment of the Spirit. That's where people, I got my interpretation. Well, you got your interpretation, but who really cares about it? I want to get the Spirit's interpretation. He shows how it's done. That's the thing, that's what's great about the Spirit of God, is He shows you the techniques that He follows. Okay, so that's something we need to claim. Now, there's another thing that comes along with that. If you would look in 1 Corinthians 12, this church in Corinth had four basic questions for the Apostle Paul. And chapter 12 was the third question. There are four chapters in 1 Corinthians that start with the word "now." And in chapter 7 it says, "Now concerning the things you wrote me thereof." Okay, so chapter 7 is one issue. Chapter 8 is another issue. Chapter 12 is a third issue. And it's about spiritual gifts. Now again, Baptists don't want to talk about this because somebody else is talking about it too much. And they're laying a bunch of false light on this, counterfeit light. Now, this chapter 12 is about spiritual gifts, and this runs all the way through chapter 15. 15 is a resurrection chapter. So that tells us that chapter 12 helps us to live a resurrected life before the resurrection. Now, there are several gifts given out there. And if you read down in verse 4, 5, and 6, you'll see there that God, the Father, is the one that decides where you're supposed to exercise this gift, or the power of it. I'm sorry, the power of it. God, the Son, shows where you are to exercise it, but it's the Holy Ghost who decides what gift you are given. Now, a spiritual gift or a spiritual gift like this is very similar to like a natural gift where some people are artistic or musically inclined or mechanically inclined. Those are some things that are that come naturally to them easier. So a spiritual gift. Now, you have a bunch of them in there. Now, we know one group's going to be bragging about Hashan, Tai, and Tai, Bow Tai, and that's all you got to do is memorize that. Or memorize all the motorcycles real fast, you know, and say that real fast, and then you're speaking in an unknown tongue. Now, in chapter 14, verse 4, it says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue or in a tongue edifieth himself. It's just like a little kid. Watch me as I jump off this and land on my head. Wow, it's not your head I'm worried about. It's your neck. Okay, so far as that goes. No, what is the greatest gift in 1 Corinthians 14? It says prophecy. Now, of those gifts, some of those gifts have been placed on a shelf because they were Israeli sign gifts, and when God put Israel on the shelf in Acts 28, the gifts went with it. And a person has to rightly divide those. But there's one gift that the Spirit of God, according to this passage, promises that every believer has a minimum of one. At least one. But you're not limited to one, because in chapter 12, 31, he says, covet earnestly the best gifts. So that says that if we pray and ask God for more, he will answer that prayer. And one that I would say has got to be high on your list is discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits will help you when somebody guides you to the scriptures. The Spirit of God has done for this for me for many years, where I may not know what's right, but I sense a warning flag. Something's not right here. And then I kind of give it a little cold shoulder or step back and look at it and study a little bit further. And then the Spirit will enlighten you to, okay, this part is true. This part, you want to take this part and put that in file 13. And you could have it in one sentence where maybe half the sentence is truthful and then maybe one third is not, and then this part, okay, you could take this part. That's what the Spirit, discernment, discretion shall preserve thee. That's what Titus chapter 2 says. It's a very interesting gift. It's one that is very necessary, and that's what the Spirit of God will do. It's one of the most important, discerning of spirits. And this is where you could see, okay, if somebody's showing you something in the Bible and they showed you the passage, but then you noticed they added a word. They had to add a word to make it say what they wanted it to say. So what do you do with that? Well, I don't get that. Why'd you add a word? Why'd you subtract a word? Several years ago, we had a couple down in Rensselaer that got saved, and as usual, a wolf in sheep's clothing, within 6 months, usually it's within 60 days, is going to try to talk them out of their salvation. And so, I had already dealt with this guy that was dealing with them, and so here they are, they called me up, I lived a mile or so away, and they said, hey, we got a JW here, would you want to come over? Oh, man, is a Pope Catholic? Sure. Okay, and so, I go over. And so here's the two JWs. Now, the one JW was a guy I had already dealt with 2 years prior. He was at another house trying to tell somebody that their story of the rich man of Lazarus is a parable. And so I'm sitting there, and he said that, and I said, hey, show me the word parable. I mean, you said it's a parable. I'll give you $100 if you show me it's a parable. Boy, he started looking. I knew my money was safe. Hey, I'm Dutch. It's not going out that quick. And so he starts looking. I said, got $100, pal. And he couldn't find it. Well, there's the same guy I dealt with 2 years earlier. I remember that face. And so he's waxing eloquent, and I'm saying, you're wrong there, and this wrong there, and I'm kind of, you know, this wrong. And finally, he got so flustered, he said, I can't say anything. This man is interrupting me. So the head of the household, Ray, told me, said, can you be quiet and just listen? I said, okay, I'll do that. It's your house. I'm a guest. I'll do what you say. And so then the lady asked the JW, are you telling me I can lose my salvation? And he says, well, you know the story of Elijah and the false prophets, don't you? She said, yes. You remember that Elijah called upon the Lord and the false prophets called upon the Lord? I couldn't let that slide. I said, you lied. That's all I said. He said, you were told to be quiet. I said, yeah, but you lied. He said, what? I said, they called upon Baal. And I could see the dagger hit his eyeballs. And his eyes glassed over. Yeah, I hit pay dirt there. Caught ya. And as he's getting ready to walk out the door after that sword just gently went in, when he got the front door, I said, hey, did you ever find parable in Luke chapter 16? Out the door he goes. And that's the right response. They got nothing to say, and you don't have to do it angrily. You can enjoy the process. You know? And see, that's what discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits, is, it says in 1 John, you can try the spirits. You ever sense the spirits? Okay, and try the spirits. Now, you're not going to bat 1,000 with it. But still, when the Spirit of God throws up a warning flag, you need to step back. Okay? A lot of times people talk about alternative health. It's satanic. No. And the medical profession isn't? Well, why can't you take the truth and throw out the bad? I remember a preacher said, you should not read heretical material. I thought, how am I going to know if it's heretical if I don't read it? Who's going to be so kind to put the Neil Obstant on there so I know what I'm supposed to read? Some pope. Okay? And so, just think. Every time you open a Bible, or every time somebody talks to you about the Bible, go to the author. He's right there. Ask him. Open your eyes. Ask him, Lord, give me the spirit of discernment. Help me to discern truth from error. Help me to recognize truth from error. Help me to recognize error when it's 99% true. Help me to recognize that. And the Spirit of God is ready, willing, available, but so many people don't hit the app. It's just right there. They don't hit the app. And that is probably the greatest thing that we have to overcome the world. There's other things on the flesh and other things on the spirit. But as far as overcoming the world, that is ready and available for every born-again believer. Man, tap into it. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray and ask that you'd help us recognize that born again, the Spirit of God has come in our body. He is the teacher, he is the guide, he is the interpreter of the Bible. And by chance, if someone is not born again here, not saved, that they might see their need of the Lord Jesus. But Lord, help us to be people that yield to the Spirit of God so that he might guide us into all truth. Thank you for that great promise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, we'll be dismissed with that. If you're in choir...